You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The week is rolling along on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. It is Tim Leonard and Tyler Rocky here with you for a Tuesday LOS podcast. We are continuing our Newbies on Campus series. Excited about this one today. It is the coach's other son, the older son, Jimmy Boeheim. We're going to dive into his strengths and weaknesses, what we see as his role next year, his projected stats, basically everything you need to know about Jimmy Boeheim. Before we do that, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're here with you guys throughout the offseason, keeping you company, counting down the days until football season. We did a football recap show yesterday on the pod. Go back and check that one out if you haven't already, breaking down the latest Willie Tyler news and just keeping you up to date on anything that comes out recruiting-wise or Boeheim's Army stuff coming up in a little bit. Hit that subscribe button now if you haven't already. Drop a review as well. That always helps us out. And follow the show on Twitter. Our Twitter page is Locked On Syracuse or at @LO_Syracuse on Twitter. So, Ty, Jimmy Boeheim, we'll start out with his strengths and weaknesses to his game. And I know he's not going to be Marek Dolezal 2.0, but when I was writing down his strengths and weaknesses as I was preparing for this, it is kind of similar to Marek. Like, I do feel like they're going to play kind of similar types of games and roles next season.
I find that this to be a very interesting comp because they do have a lot of similarities to their game. And I think we even saw that Jim Boeheim said that Jimmy actually may have grown an inch or two over these past couple of months as well. So he's getting bigger, all that stuff. But here's the one significant difference between Marek and between Jimmy. And it's actually a good difference if you're Syracuse, but Jimmy has always had a very high usage, a very high possession percentage. Marek was not as much that. Don't get me wrong, Marek was an integral part of the offense, but Jimmy was the guy on offense at Cornell. So he had that to go along with a low turnover rate as well. Two things that are going to be very important for this team in 2021, 2022.
I think the difference is Jimmy and Marek both got a lot of touches at their respective schools. I guess not last year because Jimmy didn't technically play last year, but last time they played, they both touched the ball a lot. The difference was Cornell possessions often ended with Jimmy Boeheim shooting or scoring or attempting a shot in some variety. Marek, they ended with him making a backdoor pass to Elijah Hughes or something. It wasn't necessarily him touching the ball last.
No doubt. Yeah, right. And one of the things that I'm going to be intrigued now is that role going to flip this year? Because I want to know, what is Jimmy Boeheim when he is not a focal point of the offense? What is he going to be like? Because it's going to be the Buddy Show. It's going to be the Benny Show. It's going to be Joe Girard. All of those guys are going to have higher possession usage than Jimmy Boeheim heading into this year. And that's something that he hasn't really dealt with the past couple of seasons that he's been on the court. So I'm intrigued to see how that changes. What little skill is he going to pick up? Is the assist rate going to go way up? I'm looking forward to that. Is he going to get better quality looks? I don't know. We're going to see what his offensive game looks like. And I'm sure we'll get into this a little further down the show. But how many shots per game are there going to be for a guy like Jimmy Boeheim? For a guy who's used to taking double figures per contest, that number is going to drastically shrink. So what is going to be that next level skill? It's a little different than what we talk about when we say, what's Cole Swider's number two skill going to be? Because we know that he can shoot the ball really well, that being Swider. What is Jimmy Boeheim's new role going to look like?
Yeah, and there are some similarities in him and Cole Swider in terms of their weaknesses more so. Maybe you'd point to a lack of athleticism. Is he quick enough in the zone? Is he going to be a good enough leaper to be a rim protector, to be a rebounder at the ACC level? Those are similar, but outside of that, it kind of stops there because you're right. I feel like Jimmy is kind of a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy where he maybe doesn't have one totally desirable skill like Cole, which is shooting, but he can do a lot of different things for you. His versatility is probably his best skill. Maybe it's his passing because I do think he's a high IQ playmaker in that regard, but he's really just a guy that should stuff the stat sheet and do a little bit of everything for you. And that's why I think it draws comparisons to Marek Dolezal, and he could play a similar role.
I also do think one of Jimmy Boeheim's strengths is his strength, because he has this ability to go up and finish through people. Now, I'm interested to see how that translates, and hopefully the added inch or two to his height will help it translate a little bit better to the ACC, where centers aren't always going to be 6'8", 6'7", like they can be at times in the Ivy League. And is he going to still have that ability to get up and get over people? Now, Jimmy is going to have a lot of help around him, too. Things are going to open up. He's going to have a lot of space on the inside to operate with because of the fact that there are so many shooters on the team. So I want to see, can he develop like the little floater from six to 8 feet? Because that could be a really useful tool for this offense. If they need a bucket inside late, you got all those threats, but maybe it's Jimmy Boeheim that comes out of nowhere, slips around a screen, and then it puts up a little floater that ends up being a pivotal basket.
Right, and he hit some clutch buckets at Cornell from what I saw. He definitely has a very strong interior post game. It's a smart, crafty, kind of old school way that he plays. He can play with his back to the basket. He's got a polished post game that is honestly a little bit similar to Quincy, maybe in the way that he played and how he was just good at scoring near the rim and finding the ways to make the ball go in the basket. He's got very good touch. And, you know, he was on Packer and Durham recently with Buddy. And I guess it was actually more Packer and Jordan Cornett, because Jordan Cornett was filling in for Wes Durham. But it was funny hearing them go back and forth during the interview. And they asked them at one point the question that was kind of on a tee, but what skill would you want that the other guy has? And it got me thinking, they're really pretty different players for being brothers, because it's easy for Jimmy. He says Buddy shooting. That's the skill he really misses. And then when you think about it from the other end, for Buddy, the skill that he would want is his interior scoring, because he's got such great touch around the basket. Jimmy Boeheim does.
Right, and that's going to be one of the things. Is that going to be the next step that Buddy takes, and is that going to be the next step that Jimmy takes? Because if Jimmy does decide to step out, remember, teams would leave Marek largely unguarded on the perimeter because they knew he was not going to take that shot. Jimmy's three-point shooting the last time he played was sub 30%. Is that going to be something that takes a leap, because is the maybe the volume's not going to be there, but the quality of look is just going to be that much better at the top. I'm thinking like that straightaway three that we would see Marek. He didn't even go up and look like a threat to shoot it. He would just kind of hold it and look to pass from that area. But is that going to be something that we look at Jimmy and he says, you know what, I'm gonna fire away from right here because I've worked on this shot and I'm going to be a lot more open because a lot of defensive attention is not necessarily going to be on me because of all the shooters on the floor.
Yeah, and, you know, we can get into his weaknesses a little bit. I brought it up earlier how it's similar to Cole Swider. I think defensive quickness, although I do think laterally he's decent, it's just, does he have the athleticism that you would desire for a 2-3 zone defender? Maybe not, but again, it's like Cole, can he make up for it with his smarts and being a high IQ guy? I think he can, and I think he'll be fine, and heck, he's been around the 2-3 zone for a while. That was the joke with Buddy. It still kind of holds true for Jimmy Boeheim. And he's such a hard worker. We know that.
Hey, quick break to tell you about the best place to go to keep your car moving on the road. It is rockauto.com. You know, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why often endure pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? You don't know that sort of question. And wait while the counter man or woman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. Why do that when you've got computers with access to rockauto.com at home and also in your pocket? Rockauto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years now. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks and they'll have it delivered directly to your door. They've got got amazing selection and reliably low prices. So all you got to do now is go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure that when you do make that purchase on rockauto.com, write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Overall, I'm pretty confident that Jimmy Boeheim will have a pretty high floor. It's because he can do a lot of different things on the basketball court for you. And then we've talked about this before, but Jim Boeheim, the dad, he's seen him. He's seen his game for a while. He's seen him develop each and every year. He's gotten better each year, which is always a good sign. And now the dad is confident enough to say, yeah, he's going to be pretty good. And even recently when he did an interview, he kind of went out of his way to say, like, I think Jimmy's going to be really good for us. And I don't think he'd say that, or put it this way, I think he would know if Jimmy was not going to be good, and he wouldn't bring him on if it wasn't the case. And that was the same thing with Buddy, and that panned out. So I'm not saying he's going to be the best player on the team like Buddy's supposed to be next year, but I think Jim Boeheim, the dad, knows what his son is going to bring, and that makes me confident that he is going to have a decent floor next year.
We've said this the entire offseason. Jimmy Boeheim would not be on this team if he wasn't good enough to play at Syracuse, if his dad didn't see something in him, because quite frankly, if he was going to be just a gimmick, like I like the storyline, he would have committed to Syracuse in the first place. That's where this whole thing would have started. It would have been from the get-go, and then who knows what his career turns into. And I'm almost glad, like, this is the way that it's panning out for Jimmy, where he went somewhere, developed his game a little bit, got better and better each season at Cornell, and now you're hoping it's the storybook culmination. But he's not here for storybook's sake. He's here because Jim Boeheim thinks he's good enough, and this would not be the case if he was not good enough. Now, could things absolutely flop? Sure, things happen. It's sports. But at the end of the day, I agree with you. The floor is pretty, if you're a Syracuse fan, the floor is at a good spot for you. I think the floor is pretty high for what Jimmy Boeheim can be. And the ceiling, I don't quite know what it is going to be, because we're going to see what the translation is like from leveling up from an Ivy to the ACC. And we're also going to see what it's going to be like when you're going to not be the focal point on offense, and maybe one of your best attributes isn't going to be as valuable in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big jump. There's reason to be concerned about Ivy League to ACC, because a lot of guys have done it, and not saying not that many have panned out, but it's not like 100%,
it's not a high hit
rate, of course.
It really isn't. Like, I'm trying to think through a bunch of the ones that we've seen as of late. I think of Mekhi Mason was one that was really successful. Yeah. And then I believe there's another one that I'm forgetting right now.
Well, look at Patrick Tepay last year.
Well,
and I know
we
talked about this a
Patrick
little bit.
Patrick
Tepay. Yeah, that's a negative,
and
right?
Then I know he dealt with injuries last season, but Bryce Aiken, even when he was on the floor at Seton Hall, he was Mr. World Beater. Like, he was the best player in the entire conference in the Ivies.
Yeah, Mike Smith, very much a positive one at Michigan,
yes,
for
yes,
sure.
That's the other one I was
forgetting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's success stories, I think. I think about even just not even an Ivy League, but when you're making a jump from a conference like an Ivy League, like UNC not that long ago brought in Christian Keeling and another guy, Justin something, that I'm blanking on his last name. But the bottom line is they just weren't that good. Like, they came in and they weren't really ready for ACC competition, and they didn't get as much out of them as they thought. And Christian Keeling did end up having a pretty good game against Syracuse, so some fans might remember him, but still, as a whole, they needed them to be better, and that team struggled, and that was the team that lost to Syracuse in the ACC tournament right before COVID, because they just didn't really get a whole lot from those transfers. And that's happened a lot across all levels of college basketball. When a guy goes up that much, it's a pretty big jump. But I feel confident that Jim Boeheim knows what he's got in Jimmy Boeheim, and I just like the fact that he's improved each and every year. I think that's a great sign. I think that's a great sign, because one, going into his freshman year, then I know that Jim Boeheim knew he probably wasn't ready, and now he's seen enough development in him to say, okay, he's probably ready to play for Syracuse.
And let's not forget this too: when you see guys level up and come to Syracuse, for the most part, they have hit. I mean, I think of guys like Elijah Hughes and John Gillen, when you're seeing these guys tear up and go come from these lower level conferences and transfer into to Syracuse, they have for the most part been successful. Now, are there some bumps and some rough patches in the beginning? Yeah, sure. But at the end of the day, when you get to February and January and the meat of ACC play, they are very playable guys and guys that you want on the floor for your team. Hey, did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including their limited time offers as well? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about what their favorites are. Just ask Tim and I. My favorite is the peanut butter brownie, but they've got a variety of other flavors as well, whether it's coconut, some fruit flavors, some other chocolate flavors, the salted caramel. There's a Built Bar for everybody. And if you haven't tried all the flavors yet, you can get a mix box as well where you will get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. And not only do Built Bars taste great, but they're also healthy for you too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 net carbs. So order today and get that raspberry, the mint brownie, or do what I do, get the peanut butter brownie, or get whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your first order. Again, BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your first order. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action, it is betonline.ag. With baseball season in full swing, you gotta do what I do and track all the action at BetOnline. You'll get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB and the NBA and NHL playoffs, as well as some UFC and MMA odds as well. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your phone or laptop and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Use our promo code LOCKEDON and you will get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
So getting into kind of projecting Jimmy's role on this team and what his stats could be next year, I see him starting. I think we talked about this a little bit. I think you're more Cole Swider starts yes. right now if you had to pick. So it could go either way. I'm not totally dead set on one way or the other. I just think he provides a little bit more in other areas of the game, and there's a little bit more known about his game coming out and in his defense in particular, that I see him starting and finding a pretty solid role. And I think I looked at Marek's stats last year, 9.8 points per game, 5.1 rebounds, 3.3 assists. He played 35 minutes. I don't think Jimmy will play quite that many minutes because there is Cole at that other forward spot. There's Benny Williams. There's plenty of guys on this roster already. I think he'll play it somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 minutes, but I think his stats will be fairly similar to that of Marek. We're maybe looking at 9 points per game, I don't know, 6 rebounds, maybe even a little bit more boards, and then like 2-3 assists a game.
Yeah, I've got right now somewhere in the neighborhood of 7-9 points per game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Now, I almost view his impact with the Orange as the reverse of Alan Griffin, where, remember with Alan, all the numbers went up in terms of the counting stats, but the percentages largely went down. And that was to be expected when you're playing more minutes. Now, with Jimmy, I'm kind of expecting the opposite, where you're going to see the points per game, maybe the rebounds and the assists all go down, but all the percentages are going to go up. Here's what his shooting splits were from a season ago. He was 29% from 3, 43% from the field, and then 71% from the free throw line. I'd expect all of those numbers to go up by about 5%. I don't know, maybe not the free throw shooting, but field goal percentage and the three-point percentage, I would all expect both of those numbers to go up 5 to 7%, just because his quality of look is going to be so much better this season with Syracuse, because he was the focal point of every scouting report when he played at Cornell, and now that he's with the Orange, I think a lot of that is going to change, where he's probably 4, 5, 6 on your target list that you're going through for your scouts. So I expect to see all of those percentages go up, but I would expect the counting stuff to go down. And listen, I think this is going to be a successful season if the stat line isn't through the roof. I think that is the best case scenario. The stat line doesn't need to be through the roof, but the efficiency has to be much better than it has been in the years past.
Yeah, it's weird. I think I would say right now that Cole Swider has a better chance of averaging more points per game. But in a way, Jimmy Boeheim might be a more impactful player next year. Like, I still think Jimmy starts, and I think he probably plays more minutes than Cole, and I think he's more reliable than Cole. But, and I get it, I'm pretty high on Cole, too, and it's not like a huge difference between the skill level. I don't think it really matters. I think they're both going to be pretty big contributors next year, and we'll need a good amount from each of them. But I do like what you said there about how his... basically his percentage of looks and the volume that he's going to get is going to go down a lot. It's going to be interesting to see how does he adjust to going from literally the focal point, because before it was Matt Morgan, I believe his name was, the really good player for Cornell. He leaves, then he became the guy, and he was going to be the guy again if they played last year, and now all of a sudden he's like fourth or fifth guy and really shouldn't be shooting or scoring a ton because... for the most part, they have tons of shooting and scoring, and what we need from him is passing, playmaking, and just his overall versatility. So can he take a backseat, and will he be willing to not be looking for a shot a ton? I think the answer to that is yes, because he's a high IQ player, and he understands that he's entering a new team, a new role, and he signed up for all of that. So I'm not too worried about that part. I do feel like you brought up a good point how, I mean, he was facing double teams.
Right.
Frequently. When you watch back his games, he's inside, he's having to go to spin moves, lefty hooks against double teams that if you're sitting here and you're thinking, okay, interior scoring, that's a strength for him, but he was going up against 6-7 kids, that makes sense. Will he be able to translate? It makes me feel better that I watched a lot of his tape and a lot of the times it was against literal double teams, and I think that means he's going to translate fairly well to ACC competition.
Right. He didn't finish over people. He finished through people was kind of what I would see when I would watch a lot of what he was doing. So it's going to be one of the more intriguing players on the roster. Obviously, the Boeheim factor's there, but even if his last name wasn't Boeheim, I think he's still one of the more intriguing players on this roster. Last season he played, he had a KenPom offensive rating of 100. That is baseline average stuff. Now, a lot of that has to do with efficiency, and like I said, a lot of the shooting numbers weren't great, but the volume stuff was good. And when you are the focal point and you are getting to create all these different opportunities for yourself and for your team, sometimes you do see the offensive rating dip a little bit. It oftentimes is the bench guy. Like, unless you're Luka Garza, it's the bench guys or like the sixth men that have some of these really through the roof percentages, or the centers will have sometimes really, really big offensive ratings because they don't shoot the ball a lot, but when they do, they are extremely efficient with their touches.
And I do see a world where he averages like 4 or 5 points per game, and that's possible, whereas I don't really see that with Cole Swider. I feel like if Cole Swider's playing, he's going to get points. I mean, he got him at Villanova already, but there's a chance that Jimmy just doesn't really translate scoring wise. But even saying that, I think worst case scenario here, and this goes back to what I was saying about his floor, worst case scenario, he averages maybe 4.5 points per game and he plays like 23, 24 minutes a game, but he's still helping you out in a lot of other ways. He's still grabbing rebounds. He's making hustle plays. He's making timely plays for your team, and he's a playmaker on offense. He's going to be one of the best passers. I mean, honestly, him and the guy we're going to talk about on tomorrow's episode, Symir Torrence, those are two of the best passers on the team next year, in my opinion. And that's two newcomers, so that's exciting. They really needed that. So he helps them out in a lot of areas that they need help in, which is good when you're bringing in a newcomer that he can slide in and immediately have kind of a role on next year's team.
And I think about it from this angle, too. One thing that could determine the playing time split between Cole Swider and Jimmy Boeheim is rebounding. We know there's going to be shooting on the floor whenever.
That's a good point.
With pretty much any lineup you roll out there, there's going to be shooting on the floor between some breakdown of Benny and Buddy and Joe Girard. You're going to have three very talented shooters out there for most of the time. Now, if Cole can't get you many rebounds, but Jimmy is rebounding, well, guess what? There isn't necessarily a need for that fourth shooter on the floor per se. Now, is it nice to have? Yeah, absolutely. Because when you've got those four on the floor, you might have the most lethal shooting combination in the entire country out there. But
yeah,
it's not a huge detriment if you are going to lose one shooter and this other guy can come in and he can get you 6, 7, 8 rebounds a game. That to me is going to be the thing that determines the split between whether or not we see a hefty dose of Jimmy or if we see a hefty dose of Cole.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, well, we will continue, I guess, kind of wrap up our Newbies on Campus series tomorrow on the podcast. Symir Torrence diving into his game, everything you need to know. I hope you guys have enjoyed these so far. Feel free to subscribe to the show and follow us on Twitter so you can stay up to date with everything associated with the podcast. But we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.